This week's Parsha is called Bamidbar. It's also the name of the book. It's a new book which is going to talk about the travels and what took place during those travels over the years that the Jews were in the desert. While Bamidbar is a new book, when we look at the last third of the book of Vayikra, we notice that a shift took place. He started speaking about the land. Discussion of the holidays in Parshat Emor were in terms of the agricultural laws. That went into Bahar, the laws of Shemitah, Yovel, again, agricultural. And finally, Bechukotai was the rebuke, the tochacha, blessings, curses, the covenant, which all were land-based, that if you do this, you'll stay in the land. If not, you'll be forced to leave the land. Then we start our new book. And what we're going to realize very, very quickly is that we're going to be moving soon. We now understand why all those warnings were given and why this talking about the land. The reality is that the land of Israel really should be the next stop. We know, however, that many things happened during the time of the desert, and this generation never do make it to the land of Israel. But we start to move. The movement takes place from Mount Sinai towards the land. And the trip is not always a direct trip, and sometimes they go north, and sometimes they go south, and sometimes it seems they go east, and sometimes west. In the beginning of this week's Parsha, a census takes place, and the census is actually framed in a very specific way. These are the people who go to army, which means there's an anticipation of battle, there's an anticipation of war. It means this idea of leaving the area of Sinai, Mount Sinai, and heading towards Israel is really the agenda. At least at this point. Next, we're told about the encampment. The encampment consists of both how the community were in a camp, on the one hand, and on the other hand, how they marched. And we're told that the 12 tribes were divided into four camps each consisting of three tribes. The combination of these tribes is interesting. The order of these tribes is interesting. And as the commentaries and the rabbis of old try to figure out, so what exactly is going on over here? A number of suggestions were put forward. One, which is an incredible thought, it says that the way or the direction or the order that they stood around the camp, now there's something that we need to note, in the very center of the camp was the Mishkan. You know, when God says that if you follow the laws and so on, I will be in your midst, here we have, in the formation of the camp, a visual of that concept. God is in their midst, or at least the Mishkan is in their midst. And the Mishkan, of course, having the word Shechina, God's presence, the Ten Commandments, are sitting there in the center. Which means, in the very center of the community, it's not just a synagogue, it's not just a Beit Midrash, it's the Mishkan. So the very center of the camp is the Mishkan, and the Jews surround it. So one suggestion is that this encampment mimicked something which took place long ago. When Yaakov was on his deathbed and his children came in to see him, Yaakov, according to this teaching, tells his sons to go in a particular order with Yaakov in the center. And therefore, the visual that this suggestion has is one of the holy patriarch Yaakov, representing Torah, Yaakov is the tents, being the same idea as the Mishkan in the center of the Jewish people. And then the sequence of the groupings of the various tribes was something which was already suggested by Yaakov. And then it continues and suggests that when they carried Yaakov's Aron, when they carried his remains, and they brought him back to Israel, they marched in the same order. Which means that, in a sense, was the trial run to go to the land of Israel. The trial run was with the patriarch Yaakov in the center, and the tribes surrounding him and marching towards the land of Israel. Of course, that trip ended up successful in terms of the burial, but a failure in terms that now they had to go and first start the slavery. Now they first had to start the hundreds of years of servitude. Now when the Jews have come out, and after they receive the Torah, and they're about to march, and there needed to be some kind of order, some kind of logic, how do we put ourselves? What's the sequence of the tribes? How do they put north, south, east, and west? So the answer becomes the exact same way when Yaakov was in their midst, the exact same way that Yaakov told them to align themselves. And in that way, they're going to start the march to the land of Israel, and then this time with the Torah in the midst, with the Ten Commandments in the midst, with the Shekhinah in the midst. And that, of course, is a powerful lesson for Jews throughout history. And in a sense, it's easier said than done, and it's easier to get into a marching formation than actually live as if the Torah is really in your midst, which was really what the covenant was about last week. It's not just a question of formation. It's a question of essence. We need to live with the Torah in our midst. We need to surround it. We need to protect it. We need to live by it. Because if we live by the Torah being in our midst, then truly God will be in our midst.